The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Really, if all things were right with the world, we should be sitting down and enjoying some Champions League action with our good colleagues over at Virgin Media Sport this evening. Alas, that is not happening, but we are bringing our Champions League Best Moment series with thanks to Virgin Media Sport, hashtag WeFreeSport, to you over the coming weeks with Neil Mellor on last night talking about the Olympiacos game. Really good stuff from him. This evening, we've decided to give Chelsea the treatment. And, well, who else could we draft in? Only the one and only. That's you, Pat Nevin. How you doing?
Never talk over the music. You know, it has to be fading out. Very well. Very good indeed. Still, things all quite cool here in the Scottish borders. I think people are living in the kind of rural areas don't seem to have it quite as bad just now what's going on with the coronavirus. But, you know, still locked down and still just going out for the one run. And being in isolation, as is the case in many parts of rural Ireland, you're in isolation anyway. Mm. You can't help it. There's just nobody around.
Yeah. So we've thrown you a slightly strange one this evening. We're doing a little Champions League moments type series. And, well, we asked you to pick out the Champions League game or games which stick in your mind. And you're giving us the Chelsea treatment this evening.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone thinks of Chelsea now. If you're quite a young chap or chapess looking into football just now, you think Chelsea, one of the great clubs, you know, one of the big European powerhouses. Yeah, sure, that wasn't the case up until just before, or about the Roman Abramovich era. And the Roman era started in 2004 when he bought over the club. Before that, they'd actually come a little bit closer than people realised. They got to the quarterfinals against Barcelona a couple of years before that. They got to the semi-finals against Monaco when Claudio Ranieri was in charge, and he made some extreme substitutions in a game away at Monaco, which nobody understood, and then it led, some people think, to Chelsea going out, and it led after that to Roman coming in, you know, getting Mourinho in, and suddenly it kind of blossomed from there. When I say it blossomed, it still took a hell of a long time to win that Champions League and a hell of a lot of money.
I do remember that away game to Monaco very vividly, and the sense from a Chelsea point of view of this massive missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, people have actually misremembered it in a lot of ways because, I mean, Chelsea had actually done okay to get that far. I mean, well done, semi-final, but it's only Monaco. Now, the score ends up 5-3, you know, after the both legs. Mm. But Chelsea were in a good position in the first leg. They were 1-0 down going near the end of the game. But what happened then was Ranieri, he went for it, decided, I want to get the away goal, and did go for it. Now, the odd thing is, he didn't then get away, he got the away goal, and it went 1-1. But because of the extreme changes that he made at that point in time, I've got them written down here. Gronkiar came on for Veron, very positive move there. Melchior came on for, Jimmy Floyd-Hasselbalch came on as well, so for Melchior. Mm. So two real forward-minded players there. And Hoot went off, came on for Scotty Parker. Really changed it up, adapted it, got a goal really quite quickly, and then lost two goals very quickly. That was Chelsea 3-1 down. Back at the bridge, they had to chase it, and they got a 2-2 draw back there and went out. But it was those extreme changes, and sometimes luck favours the brave, but I don't think people, you know, held out of a lot of belief that he was going to do anything in the game after that. Wrong. They did quite well with Leicester City after that.
No, it's but true. It really damaged them though, didn't it, Ranieri? That felt like, I'm not even sure from memory how much longer he stayed at the club, but for like in terms of my memory of him, that was his last night.
Yeah, and it's considered really that he'd blown what could be Chelsea's only chance. Mm. You know, Abramovich didn't come until the June of that season, so it was a few months later. So many, many people thought Chelsea had waited all those years to get to the cusp of the Champions League final in that semi-final against a good but beatable team and never managed to do it. But I mean, I think that's right in history in a slightly unfair way. You know, he had a right good go at it, and Chelsea were in some ways a little bit unlucky in that. But their time hadn't happened yet. Their time was still to come. It needed a lot of money. It needed a lot of brilliant big names to come in as well. I mean, they had a lot of big names. Problem they had the period after that was they had Barcelona in front of them. And Chelsea had this long run of games against Barcelona. And I was at a lot of them, you know, particularly the ones down at Stamford Bridge. And Barcelona, as we all know, what a phenomenal side they were. They're an absolutely amazing side. And Chelsea ran them close a good few times. I mentioned just before the Roman era, they beat 5-1 in one game with Barcelona. They were a long way behind. But quite quickly, they actually they caught up in that. There was a 5-4 win after two legs. As usual, Didier Drogba scored and Lampard scored, and they got all the way through. That was 2004, 2005. They beat Bayern Munich on the way there in the next round, 6-5, to find themselves in the semi-final against Liverpool. Mm. And Chelsea thought they had a right good chance in 2004, 2005. And if that memory serves me right, that was the one with the goal that never was.
Yes. Well, I'll absolutely pick up on that in just a moment. Just to say briefly, though, the greatest moment of all the Chelsea-Barcelona games in the Champions League, and in some respects, in my head, they've kind of moulded together into one. But the moment that stands out for me, if you say Chelsea-Barcelona in that era, vaguely, it is the Ronaldinho toe poke.
Yeah, I remember people saying, oh, it's only a toe poke. And I think that's one of the best skills there is in the game. It's totally and utterly unreadable. Keepers always set themselves. They talk about getting themselves set. So they wait for the leg to move, the angle of your body. I remember talking for a long time to Neville Southall, but this one was at Everton. And you see, that's how he read it. He knew by your body shape roughly where it's going. And even if you tried to disguise, but he hated the toe poke. There was two things he hated, scoops and toe pokes. Huh. And any time I did any of the two of them, he would basically chase me out of the whole training ground. But a toe poke, you know, there's nothing much you can do about it. I mean, trying to get a top line, that's one line you talk about there. I mean, there are so many incredible moments over a long period of time. I mean, a lot of people remember the Iniesta goal in the last minute in another game. Mm. That's another great chance that Chelsea had, and that was the 90th minute. So, I mean, there's so many you can go into. When we finally get to my favourite moment, it is a moment with Chelsea against Barcelona, but it's none of those ones, and it's stuck with me, but it's a wee bit further on.
Okay, excellent. Well, we'll come back to your favourite moment. We'll finish on that point then. You mentioned those Liverpool games. Now, so 04, 05, 05 is the ghost goal, I'm sure Chelsea fans call Garcia's goal. Which sent Liverpool on their way to Istanbul. I must say, I don't remember that period of football, those Chelsea-Liverpool games, with any fondness. I was in college, yes, from memories. I was still playing football, football obsessed, loved it, and it just wasn't my bag. I liked Mourinho arriving in English football and found him fascinating, and he was charismatic and good-looking and all this kind of stuff was great. But those Chelsea-Liverpool games, as intense a spectacle as they were, I didn't like where Mourinho and Rafa seemed to be taking the game. I was watching all of that very nervously, I have to say, because I didn't enjoy it.
Well, you talk about the two semi-finals that were in close proximity then, the 2004-2005, and then the 6-7. Well, over the period of four games, the score, you know, four entire games, the score was 2-1. You know, first one was 1-0, and the second one was 1-0 at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and 1-0 over up at Anfield. That one went to the penalties. So you're right, it wasn't hyper exciting, you know, and it's hard to know who to blame for that, because you're talking about that 2004 one, the 0-1. It wasn't a great game of football. But Chelsea had played Barca and Bayern Munich in the previous rounds. You know, aggregate scores in both of those games, 5-4 and 6-5. Mm. So, you know, I'm not blaming Liverpool completely for this. It's just Rafa and Mourinho together, you know, kind of had that kind of effect. Yeah. And that was also where, you know, the Chelsea fans grew their hatred of Rafa Benitez at that point in time, and little were they to know in time to come that Rafa would be on their doorstep and knocking their door. But no, it wasn't. You're absolutely right. The games were tense. I mean, but being at the stadiums and for those games, they were extraordinarily tense. So you're wrapped up in that. It was one of them, if you were a supporter of either team, because we're both semi-finals, you know, you were completely and utterly wrapped up in the meaning and the moment of the time.
Yeah.
And again, go back to, for Chelsea's point of view, yeah, Liverpool had won it plenty of times before. It was all right for them. Chelsea hadn't. And we thought, they kept on thinking every time, this must be it. This must be it. Another semi-final. Oh, it's Liverpool. We're capable of beating them. And every time they'd find, you know, the closest, they'd get so, so close, you know, and get to, you know, extra time. Then penalties, then lose it. I think it was 4-1 in penalties as well. So for Chelsea fans at the time, it was torture. It was roughly about that time. I think that's when Chelsea fans thought, if it doesn't happen very, very soon, it ain't going to happen. But then it was the next season, 2007-2008, there was a 4-3 where Chelsea, Didier Drogba starts coming on the scene and battering in goals against Liverpool. And that was the semi-final that obviously led to them getting to the final over in Moscow in the Luzhniki Stadium. And, you know, even the Chelsea fans, remember talking to them then, I didn't know many. I travelled over to that game. I went to Luzhniki for that game. And I didn't know many who thought they were going to win. It had just been so painful for so long, and they found such they were almost Scottish. That's the way they were, finding weird and complicated ways of blowing it. And Chelsea just time and again. And by the time you got over to the Luzhniki, and if I can tell you a wee personal story about my route over there, the club were really kind enough to ask a number of us who'd played and and the history of the club. Go over as guests, and I thought that's great. Two minor problems. One was 3 days previously I had a new hip, and you're not supposed to travel, and you're definitely not supposed to travel in Aeroflot, which is what we ended up going on. It was the most horrendous journey. Honestly, it was just, I can't explain how bad it was. So the pain, not constantly on painkillers. We ended up having to go overnight the night before to get there, so no sleep, go to the game, the horror that was it for the game, which we'll come back to in a minute for Chelsea, and then by the time afterwards we got back home, it was 6 o'clock the next morning, and I had to go straight to another game. Celtic were playing Dundee United to win the league, and I was covering that for Five Live. And I'd had these, I've never hallucinated my life before until then, but it was an extraordinary thing, that anyone who can remember it. Again, not convinced it was the best game I've ever seen. You know, for Man United and Chelsea to go all the way to Moscow, the organisation was horrendous. You've heard me waxing lyrically about how much I love Moscow now, and, you know, the World Cup was great there, the Russians did it right. Boy, did they make a backside of it on that occasion. Two different airports everyone had to get into. Ours was south of Moscow. We got up there in ages early. I'm still on the crutches, utter agony. Get in, watch the game. And, of course, with Chelsea fans, they had the chance to win it. JT slips as he takes a penalty. Everyone thinks it was him that lost it. But in actual fact, it was Anelka that lost it. It's one of those things that plays in people's mind. They forget about it.
No,
it was
Anelka. It was 100% JT. That is history.
Exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was actually Anelka that missed the penalty. Also, stupid things like, because of the desperation, not just in the Chelsea fans, but Chelsea Football Club and all the players, Drogba gets sent off near the end of that game. He'd have been one of the main penalty kick takers. Had Drogba not been sent off, it probably would have been him walking up to take that penalty kick and not John Terry. And that's all they had to do to win the cup.
Yeah.
So there's a million different things that all go on at the same time. And my memory is getting back, it was hilarious. So we ended up in these sharabangs, these old buses. And we were stuck for about 5 hours outside the airport, bucket and raining, fed up, not slept, crutches, you name it. And eventually we get let in the airport, and we were told the reason why we had to wait 5 hours is because the VIPs had to leave first.
Well, of course.
So Platini and his mates were all having their big dinners and their slap-up meals and their champagnes. They get ferried, they get their private jets out. Then they let us on the planes, and this was the best. I've never had anything like this in my life before. So all these Chelsea fans, and some of them are going to London, Stansted, Heathrow, the cars are everywhere. Some of them are going to Manchester. I'm trying to get back to Edinburgh because there are all these different flights on. They just said, get on a plane. Didn't matter which one. Get on a plane, potluck, you'll end up where you end up.
Jeez.
We just walked on planes. I ended up, I ended up Luton, and I wanted to be miles away, but you just had to get out of there. And I can remember a line afterwards and Platini telling everybody afterwards, this is when I decided I didn't like Michel Platini anymore. He came on afterwards and said it was the best organised Champions League finals I've ever been. Yeah, if you're a VIP, you get. I think he'd lost a come in touch by that point. But we were a wee bit angry at that point. And by that point, all Chelsea fans had decided it's never going to happen. Yeah. That was the best chance. That was it. Such a strong team, the likes of Drogba there as well, Terry there as well, Cavalli, all the big players that you want there were all there. and they still managed to blow it. And it, again, it was penalty kicks, and they couldn't manage it.
Yeah, no, that one's incredibly memorable, that 08 final, for sure, for a whole host of reasons. The 2012 win, eventually, climbing the summit, memorable from, and I see it, this is an interesting exercise for me, because you've looked into all these, and I frankly have had too busy a day to do that. So here, I'm giving you my memories, and it's kind of interesting then to see what the reality was. So my memories are this. Chelsea, it was an incredibly Mourinho-esque performance. They were disciplined, they frustrated Bayern Munich. They won the game in admirable fashion, if not thrilling fashion. That could be wrong. I could be doing them a disservice.
Well, but the
other 2 points.
Anyway.
Well, I know. So the other 2 points. One, Roberto Di Matteo walking up the steps, and when he gets to Abramovich, screaming and going, yes. And I was thinking, I'm not sure he's going to last here. I don't know if that's how Roman wants his manager to be. But anyway. And then, of course, John Terry. Full kit. Here I come. Parting of the blue sea. Let me on, everyone. John's here. I'm going full kit. I'm doing this.
And many, many other players would have done exactly the same. Well, not necessarily full kit, but they would have wanted to be on there as well. I mean, he's such a kit Chelsea guy through and through that he was desperate to be part of it. From a Chelsea point of view, Chelsea fans all loved seeing him on there. Absolutely everyone.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Everybody else, what the hell are you doing? And by the way, it's your own fault that you're not playing. The reason being, he was sent off in the semi-final against Barcelona, 37th minute, off the ball, just go straight through the back of the attacking player.
Yeah.
No tackle, nothing like that, just a vicious piece. And that's the thing, it was the biggest brain freeze in history, which should have cost Chelsea. They shouldn't have got through that semi-final. But they got through the semi-final. And there's JT, who's actually disgraced himself, actually out there. But not one Chelsea supporter is complaining for a second. Mm. The other thing is many things memorable about that final. Certainly a long way away from the best Chelsea team that had, you know, been in any of those Champions Leagues. Long way away from the best team that they'd had. But they still managed to fight and battle their way through. Tactics were really interesting. Two left backs on the day. Weird, weird tactics. Never should have won. I'll tell you how unexpected the win was, right? I had a choice, and I can't remember if I've told you this before, Joe, but I was working for BBC Scotland TV at the time, and also for Chelsea TV. Both different, never really mixed. However, on that day, my Scottish team, Hibernian, were playing in the cup final, the Scottish Cup final against Hearts. Now, they hadn't won the Scottish Cup for over 100 years, and this could be the day, and I'm supposed to be the main pundit in the studio. That night, Chelsea are playing the Champions League final, away at Bayern Munich against Bayern Munich. Where's your money? My money was on Hibs.
Oh, no. I don't care where your money is. There's only one game you should be going to.
But Hibs is my team. Bayern is my team. It's over 100 years since they've won the Scottish Cup. They're playing against Hearts. They're big rivals. So I decide not to go to Munich.
Oh, no.
And so the madness of it, it got so surreal. So, of course, Hibernian get beat 5-1 by Hearts. Horror show, nightmare. I'm the guy in the telly that's getting dogs abuse, and rightly, I can't believe this. And then I need to do the highlights that night. However, remember the way it works. Hibs game's finished about 5 o'clock. Chelsea game starts. I'm doing the highlights just after 10 o'clock. So I'm watching the Chelsea game against Bayern. But I've got plenty of time because, you know, obviously it's going to finish and I've got plenty of time. But it goes to extra time. And then it goes to penalty kicks. And this is exactly what happened. I'm in the studio and I've got the earpiece in and I'm watching the Chelsea game and I'm hearing the guy counting down 30 seconds to live on air to do this live big television show. Didier Drogba walks up to take the penalty kick to win the Champions League. And I'm going, what? I need to watch.
Stop.
When it comes to 10 seconds, the ball hits the back of the neck. I'm jumping about like a lunatic, jumping about in this studio, going absolutely mad. Now hear me here. 4, 3, 2, 1. Mr. Sensible.
Wow.
Because I can't let the Hibs fans see that I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm a Hibby as well. It was the most, honestly, I did a thing afterwards. I was writing for the Chelsea website. And I write every week for them. I have done for forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to write anything. Just tell me what you did when that goal went in. Because what I did was really weird, right? I've never jumped about like a loony like that in my life, especially in a studio when you're going live on air in 3 seconds. And the stories I got in were incredible. From three broken legs, three people broke their legs as they jumped up and fell through tables or this. Mm. One guy told me he was in a dog hole. You know, so he was actually in a battle. He was a medic, but there was shots being fired above him. And he was listening to it on the radio. And honestly, the stories were absolutely extraordinary about it. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that Chelsea, the time they absolutely did not think they were going to do it, was the day they done it.
Yeah, it was such a postscript to the really peak years. And boom, you know, for Lampard and for Terry, it was this amazing finale, I'm sure, for them. We have about two and a half minutes, so it is time for you to unveil. You've given this some thought. You've looked through the Chelsea of the 21st century primarily here. What is your Champions League moment? What are you going with?
Well, the Champions League moment is very special. It was the semi-final that year. It wasn't the final. It was the semi-final against Barcelona. So Chelsea are playing against them. They've not got much of a chance. They're away at Barcelona. They have to get a result. They have to get at least a draw over there. They have no chance. What does John Terry do? He gets sent off after 37 minutes. Your team, talking about team with Xavi, Iniesta, Messi, you know, they are just Busquets, the whole bunch. And Chelsea, after 12 minutes, also lost their other centre-half, Gary Cahill. So they haven't got a defence. They've no chance, right? And they're just the weirdest things happen. Barca keep on trying to cross the balls in high. They've got Sanchez in the middle. Mm. They've got Messi in the middle. There's no chance. They're never going to do it. They keep on doing this. Chelsea have a breakaway goal. Ramirez scores the most incredible dink goal.
Yeah, the dink. Yeah, out of nowhere.
And you just think, you've not got that in your locker, mate. Where the hell's that come from? It was just so magical. And I'm doing the commentary and it was amazing. But the best bit, and this is the best bit, and it stays with me and it always will stay with me. I'm doing it at Stamford Bridge as a TV commentator because I have to do it for Chelsea TV from there. They've got a corner, they're trying to score, Chelsea break, and it gets up to Torres. And then it takes you about 4 or 5 seconds to realise, actually, they haven't got any defenders. Mm. It's this dawning, this wonderful, wonderful dawning of, actually, he's got 50 yards on his own here. And it's Torres, and it's against Barcelona, and it's the hell that Torres has gone through. And it's the kind of the anticipation and build-up of your mind has time to figure this all out. If he scores here, Chelsea are in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
They can't come back. It's too late. It's an away goal. It's all those things. And the beauty and the ease. And to be honest, Torres misses chances. We know that. But one and ones is pretty good. Mm. And you never for a moment thought he was going to miss it. So I know the final and Didier scoring and the header late on against Bayern Munich. If there's a spine-tingling moment for me, a lot of Chelsea fans, and certainly me, watching that moment when he breaks away, when I realise, oh my God, there's nobody for 50 yards, that is by a mile my favourite moment in that whole thing. Still didn't make me think they were going to win it, but it was extraordinary. And it was, considering how long it took, that's a decade. That's just about nearly a decade. The amount of money the Romans put into that is extraordinary, and for that moment to get them to the final and they finally won it was an amazing journey. It was, and for every Chelsea fan that will say to you, especially the older ones that have been there and done that, seen that, you know, they never ever thought it would happen. Never, really. The chances in 15 years before that were not a snowball's chance in hell. Yet there they were at the top of the world football, and to some degree deservedly so, because they'd come so close so many times.
Pat, beautifully done. Thanks so much for that.
Pleasure as ever, guys.
We'll check in next week. Pat and Evan there. And over the next few weeks, as we said, we're going to bring you some more of our Champions League Best Moments series. With thanks to Virgin Media Sport, #WeFreeSport.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.